This week on Beyond Stillness, Stories After Stroke, we spotlight guest John DeBell of Portland, Oregon. In June of 2019, John suffered a stroke during his coronary triple bypass surgery. Before his stroke, John didn't participate in many social activities, but has found his stroke survivor support groups to be informative, motivating, and enlightening. Today, he shares his story entitled Strength in Community. Thank you for joining us for part one, John DeBell's story. Hello and welcome to Beyond Stillness. Stroke offers a powerful, life-changing shift in perspective. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. This radio show, Beyond Stillness, offers an hour of pause for storytelling and reflection. Ultimately, Beyond Stillness is a welcoming environment that reveres the moment beyond stroke's paralysis. Still moments unite humanity and divinity. I'm your host, Molly Bucola. This week, we welcome guest John DeBell, who lives in Portland, Oregon. John had retired from his work as a carpenter at age 63 and a half. 2 years into retirement, June of 2019, things abruptly changed when he suffered a stroke during his coronary triple bypass surgery. As John puts it, his 20 years of not well-controlled hypertension finally caught up with him. John's story is entitled Strength in Community. Before we begin, let us take a moment of pause. Let us settle into our own bodies and our own minds and open our hearts. Open our consciousness and connections. In this moment of pause, remember just that, connection. We are connected with each and every individual by the air we breathe, our human experiences and emotions, our triumphs and our challenges. Today, let us call to mind people in our lives with whom we feel deeply connected. And with our open hearts, grant them thanks. And now, let us call to mind those who feel more distant, or those who may feel alone and isolated. With our open hearts, may we grant them strength, comfort, connection. And for the air we breathe and the blood that runs through our bodies and the people who surround us, we give thanks.
Before I woke up from coronary triple bypass surgery on June 10th, 2019, my wife, a retired physical therapist, noticed my drooping face and somehow knew that I had had a stroke. She assumed I may not be able to speak when I woke because the droop showed that the stroke was in the left hemisphere of my brain that controls speech. When I woke up, I surprised her by actually talking. The nurse asked me to move my fingers and my toes. I did move my fingers, but when asked to move my toes, my right foot failed to respond. I tried harder. No matter how hard I tried or how long I stared at it, my foot would not move. Even though the nurse didn't respond to my body's lack of response, I quickly realized that I must have had a stroke. A nurse asked me to get up and sit in the chair next to my bed. Using a device called a Sally Steady, they helped me stand up and transferred me to the chair. When I tried to employ my right arm to help in the process, it seemed very weak, and my right leg just laid there stubborn. I stared at them, and they laid there and stared right back at me. I was taken aback. I thought, what the hell? My emotions were on hold at first. I resigned, wondering, what is going to come of all of this? They maneuvered me back into bed with a Hoyer lift. It's a hammock-like chair on a boom. That transfer was a mess. I was a mess. I was also exhausted and no help for the transfer. The whole thing was a debacle. Throughout the next 24 hours or so, the cardiac surgeon checked in on me. He tried to explain my paralysis was due to a bruised nerve from a catheter in my leg. I was hopeful. However, my wife knew this was BS, partially because the catheter was in my left leg, not my right, and she knew the doctor's explanation wasn't physiologically possible. I spent the next day and a half in cardiac intensive care and then transferred to cardiac care. PT and OT visited me on the second day once I was in cardiac care and administered tests to gauge my movement. My wife asked them to note their opinions on whether or not I had suffered a stroke and to request a neurology consult. The next day, 4 days after my stroke, the neurologist arrived, tested, and confirmed that I had, in fact, suffered a stroke. My wife requested inpatient rehab, and a couple days later, the ambulance transported me across town to the facility. At that point, I had to be cautious because my sternum was wired together from being sawed apart during coronary bypass surgery 4 days earlier. I was a mess. My right leg wasn't working, my arm was contracted, and my sternum was held together with wires. I had to guard my sternum even though I couldn't completely control my body. I've been through a lot of my life, and it wasn't until retirement that I started facing my feelings. So that point, it all just felt unfair. It was bordering on too much. I'm more comfortable turning to Google, so I Googled, what are the chances of having a stroke during bypass surgery? I kept Googling. The first night at the facility, I could get myself to the bathroom with help, but I was unable to wipe my own butt due to sternal precautions. I was so embarrassed that I had to ask a young woman to help with the challenge. I decided if the staff could help, I needed to get over myself and ask for the help. That first night in rehab, I wore an ankle leg brace for proper positioning. It felt like 100 pounds. It taught me to sleep flat on my back for the next year and a half. The next morning, the first morning of inpatient facility, the speech therapist tested my speech and cognitive abilities. I passed. Instead of focusing on speech, I focused on the 3 daily 45-minute sessions of PT and OT. In the first PT session, they positioned a walker next to my bed. I used the walker to stand, then pushed, stepped, tripped my way to the gym, 50 feet or so down the hall. I remember consciously directing every part of my right leg to move forward. I rested in the seat of the wheelchair a few times on the way. It was a welcome relief. My third trip to the gym, I made it without taking breaks to sit down. Progress. I was really excited. I was convinced the strokes and its effects were going to be a temporary issue. That's where my illusion began. I have since found that recovery is a long process, and there's nothing quick about it. Some 45-minute sessions felt long and arduous. Others went by in a flash. Time can be elusive. The staff was very helpful, but they were also demanding. OT and PT would swing by and review what I had worked on that day. By dinner, I was completely exhausted. I remember eating and heading to bed by 7 p.m. I stayed in inpatient rehab for 10 days, and when given the option to stay or go home, I elected to be discharged. They were going to be short-staffed due to the 4th of July holiday, and home sounded good anyway. In hindsight, I would have benefited from more inpatient rehab services. Before discharged, I practiced getting in and out of a makeshift car they had in the gym, but my wife's actual car was different, so my PT told my wife to pull the car around, and we practiced again. When leaving the facility, I had mixed feelings. I was both excited and reluctant to return home. My wife and I had planned for this day. She hired someone to remodel the bathroom, converting the tub to a curbless shower. I used my experience as a carpenter and a contractor to draw plans for a walker-friendly platform stairs that led to my front door. My wife hired a handyman to build the stairs before I returned home. Again, I planned for my lack of mobility to be temporary, so the stairs were not elegant. I used my walker for 2 years at that point. We replaced the stairs with a more permanent, friendly set. Inpatient care. I was told I would make the majority of my recovery in the first 6 months. The PTs were so encouraging of my progress there that I decided I would be back to normal in 4 to 7 months. Well, almost 5 years later, I have learned that that was overly optimistic. That has taken some work to put into perspective. About 7 months after my stroke, I was feeling very isolated and uncertain of what to expect. By this point, I thought I would be back to normal. I realized that a support group for stroke survivors might exist. I had been released from the hospital as a coronary triple bypass patient, so I missed the discharge information packet that stroke survivors receive. Again, I turned to Google, this time in search of stroke survivor groups. I don't consider myself a very social person. I had not participated in any social activities as an adult other than at my kid's school. Socializing with strangers doesn't come easily to me, but the search of knowledge and other survivors may be able to share theirs. I looked online to discover that indeed there was a monthly stroke survivor meeting at the senior center minutes from my home. I attended 2 or 3 in-person meetings. I was excited to join the 10 to 14 survivors and meet some of their caregivers. I knew the facilitators would be knowledgeable, too. COVID put an abrupt end to our in-person meetings. They switched to virtual, and less people showed up. Then in July 2022, I moved to Portland, Oregon, where I restarted my search for fellow survivors. Initially, I started with Portland's Life After Stroke Support Group, and later joined Stroke Awareness Oregon's Stroke Warrior Group. I believe survivor meetings are so important. I have found that I learn from each person who attends. Every stroke is different. Every person is different. Every step of the stroke journey is different. Heck, every day of my stroke recovery journey is different. I'm impressed by recent survivors and those decades out. I learned and have come to believe that showing up regularly gives everyone the confidence and the familiarity to become comfortable and secure enough to speak up. Sharing with everyone is a powerful part of these groups. Learning about everyone's successes and difficulties helps me see hope. It also helps me look at recovery from a new perspective. May I dare say support groups can be better than Google at times. I've learned a lot about cutting-edge medical trials, Eastern and Western approaches, helpful gadgets and adaptations, and much more. Members of my support groups told stories about their own travels and ways they were able to do so. I didn't know you can rent cars with adaptations. Thanks to them, I developed the knowledge and the courage to travel again. The two lessons I've mentioned at this point of the story are: one, stroke survivors see the most improvement in the first 6 months, but recovery continues and lasts a lifetime. And two, support groups have been central to my recovery. And the next lesson stresses the importance of working with the psychological side of recovery. Kaylee Cox, facilitator of the Life After Stroke Community Group, once told us, "Don't get in your own way." I realized that I was getting in my own way earlier in my recovery, but now I've given myself permission to accept the fact that I survived a stroke. I don't have to prove my abilities to myself or to others. I am not in a rush to give up my assistance devices to be normal. And when I move around with my walker, people offer me help. Since my retirement, I have been in various versions of therapy to process my childhood. I've learned that I need to take care of myself. That process has been folded up into the psychological side of my recovery. Prior to my retirement, and especially prior to my stroke, I was wrapped up in doing. That came to a halt, especially the first year after my stroke. I couldn't do that or be that anymore, so I started working on myself. About 6 months after my stroke, I connected with a psychiatrist in Colorado, and I wanted to try ketamine to process childhood psychological issues. I started to use low-dose ketamine once a week to try to help my brain develop new connections. Before all this, I could barely sit down to write a sentence. Now I write in a journal, and I've learned a lot about myself. That's just one part of the process. I've worked in therapy and various treatments and have found a different version of myself. That is important for me because I was grumpy and had low-grade depression for about 15 years. This path for me was for medication-resistant depression. I had been very emotionally blocked for most of my life, working with ketamine, helping me learn to feel my emotions. With stroke, I could be sad about the effects, emotional about the effects, or I can face them and work with them. I chose to work with them, and I'm glad I did and still do. At meetings, I hear people have become much more settled in their sense of self. Members often comment that family members say they are much more open in their relationships post-stroke. Whatever they were spending their time and their energy on before the stroke was interrupted, their priorities changed. In our meetings, I hear people have taken advantage of the opportunity to realize new meaning and significance. It has taken me several years post-stroke to get close to that. After a lot of work, I now see that my self-worth isn't based on what I can make or build or do. My wife got along better in almost every way now that I've settled into the fact that I've had a stroke. Our 50th wedding anniversary in June of 2025, I can confidently say the last several years have been some of the best years of our marriage. When I was able to release judgment of myself and stop trying to be the doer, it was easier for me to stop insisting on others be someone they are not. In my own way, I've realized what is meaningful and significant and what is not.
As we close today, for our moment of pause, we reflect on the people that just understand. Maybe others that we've met along our journey, other stroke survivors. John stressed the importance of gathering in support groups and the strength that comes through. So today, let's call to mind people on our journey that have listened, understood, and held space for us in our unique moments of recovery. We also call to mind people who have inspired us along the way. Those who may be a little bit further on in their journey, and those who may have recently had a stroke. Help us to remember that each and every person carries something unique that we can learn from, and that includes you. Remember that you are a wise person who has a lot to offer this world and other stroke survivors. And we give thanks. Thank you for devoting time and space to listen to part one, John DeBell's story. Stick with us for part two, John DeBell's interview. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. In this episode of Beyond Stillness, Stories After Stroke, we heard from guest John DeBell of Portland, Oregon, who shares the importance of gathering with fellow stroke survivors and that their social, emotional, intellectual, and communal support helps fuel his physical recovery. Today, John DeBell shared his story entitled Strength in Community. Again, thanks for listening, and remember, as part of the stroke community, you are more than supportive. You are inspirational.
If you are part of the stroke community and have a story you'd like to share on the show, please contact us. Email molly@beyondstillness.org.